come in and sit with us. We're four friends, talking, thinking, and laughing. We take on the absurd and the profound, sometimes both at once.
And we speak about aging because, oh, yes, we're living it, feeling it in our bones. First time for all of us.
And we don't plan to go quiet. We prod, we tease, we wander down strange roads. A story here, an argument there, a joke, maybe a truth.
Dylan Thomas said it best, "Do not go gentle into that good night." We won't. We'll burn, we'll rage, we'll keep moving. We'll take care of each other as we go.
Hi, welcome to Seniors in the Building. I'm Signe.
I'm Jack.
I'm Elaine.
And I'm Rick. Okay, fun. The idea of seniors.
It's already fun, Rick.
Oh, thanks for starting us off that way, Rick.
That's the way it's supposed to be, yeah. Well, you know, the idea of seniors in fun actually invites us to rethink what we have assumed about aging as it's just a period of decline. Instead, we should imagine it as a phase ripe with vitality, creativity, and joy. Fun, far from being a frivolous indulgence, actually is a deeply human need, and it's tied into social connection and imagination, play, emotional resilience. It can also be a form of rebellion against being seen or unseen, and it can be a reclaiming of time and agency, a celebration of life that's still unfolding, right?
Right.
Yeah. Today, fun for seniors could take many forms. For example, dance classes, improv theater, painting, gardening, karaoke, travel, storytelling, game nights, even learning new digital technologies.
Yeah, that was really, truly fun first round.
What's crucial is not the activity itself, we're told, but the sense of being fully alive and fully human.
Amen,
and
brother.
So fun.
Yeah.
It's a topic that we don't often associate with being elderly. Yeah.
Well, because of those assumptions, right? Or those social strictures that are out there. I mean, people think, oh, because you're older, you're not going to want to do dance. Or, you know, like there's just some things about that sort of those assumptions are kind of hard to take.
Well, and fun can be variously understood, right? Mm-hmm. Like, I'm not sure. Signe, for example, shares my absurdist sense of humor. You know, the more absurd it is, the more fun I think it is. Like Talladega Nights and like RV, when things just go completely bonkers, and praying to baby Jesus and all that stuff, and running around in your underwear on the racetrack.
That's entertainment, right?
That's entertainment.
Part of joy and fun and.
But it's also why I love Seinfeld.
Yeah.
Because it's just absurd when Elaine's head gets flown into a bird because she's got her hair puffed up and gets in the way of the bird's flight.
So that's entertainment. That's TV. So,
yeah.
So what it struck me about what you said was. Humor. I've always tried to use humor as a way of contextually lightening things up. Changing the mood or finding the absurdity in a situation. I often used humor at work to find the absurdity in a situation. And it really does shift people off some ways that they're thinking, and it, and I feel like I have kind of lost that ability in the last couple of years for some reason. I don't know. It started in COVID, when I just couldn't find anything fun at that point. But it seems to be coming back a little bit now. That ability, to find the absurdity in a situation and make a shift. How I'm feeling or thinking.
I guess when we're under pressure, feel under pressure, it's harder to move. Like the whole COVID experience put society under so much pressure.
Oh,
so
for sure.
hard to kind for of sure. find, say, the humor or the absurdity in life when you feel like everything's falling apart.
It's pretty serious, yeah, exactly.
But I guess on the other hand, what you say is often the humor, if you can inject it in there somewhere, in that actually can lift us up and move us away from just that sense of doom and inevitable disaster.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Exactly. So what do we do for fun? Like what is...
Oh, good question.
What do we do for fun? I know you guys have game nights.
Yeah, I think for me that has been one of my most favorite times of having fun, is hanging out with the family and doing games nights, you know. And we all have separate ideas of, you know, what kind of games we want to play. So it doesn't restrict somebody from not participating. Everybody's there, everybody participates, and everybody gets to playfully be competitive in some ways. And I think for me that, even just thinking about last week for our gathering time, it was a games night, right? And all we did was play trivia, and everybody just burst out their answers, and then we laughed together and told stories on each other, and I think also it was a fun time in which our grandchildren could see three generations just hanging out together and finding some commonality, because sometimes that's not usually there, right? I think that the three generations don't think that the other generation can kind of fit into the fun together, but the games night seems to do that for
equalizes
us, right?
It
equalizes it, yeah. For example, it, you know, it makes space for us to all be playful together.
Yes. I used to enjoy games, but not anymore.
No.
I used to enjoy them a lot because we were drinking while we played them.
Ah.
Like Risk, for example, to take over the world. I thought that was really fun.
Yeah.
But, you know, I'd had a few drinks, and that subjective guardedness that is there usually for all of us disappears with alcohol, as well as probably with marijuana or whatever your drug of choice is.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But I get too serious about games. I want to win.
Mm-hmm.
That's a problem.
Yeah.
For me, in terms of, I can't just lose graciously. Yeah. I want to know the rules, and therefore I got to study the rules and make sure the rules are adhered to.
Yeah. Well, we have members of our family who do that too.
Yeah.
And we all just try to figure out how to do that together then, right? How do we manage that?
So, but does that take the fun out of the game then?
The rule adherence and needing to
know. Plus you don't drink anymore.
Plus I don't drink anymore and I don't remember the rules anyway.
Right. So a more... Then I guess what I've found is then I find some simpler games to be able to handle.
Because I
can't do Risk anymore. I realize that, you know, Risk or Monopoly, they're just out of my mind in terms of trying to figure out all the little simple... There's not a lot of simple ways to win. It's very complex, right? And you have to have so much strategy, right? And actually, when I do play a game of strategy like... With Settlers of Catan with one grandchild and Rick and one son, I win by default almost. She doesn't follow the rules. She just goes ahead and plays, right?
It's chaos.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Well, sometimes it's like you just won. Oh, I won. You know, you're sometimes shocked
surprised.
That you have won. Surprised, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I wonder if part of, for me, is for many years I thought fun always had to arise out of spontaneity. Like you couldn't plan fun.
Mm, yeah.
And so, you know, getting together for games night, well, how can this be fun, right? Because you've got to organize stuff. It's sort of a learning piece. You have to learn that, you can begin by organizing and structuring things, and that leads to enjoyment, fun, and entertainment. So.
But isn't that a society assumption then, that fun is only spontaneous? We're so busy working throughout our lives, right?
Mm-hmm.
And then suddenly we're retired, and you know we don't really want to do spontaneous as much as we used to have to do when we were working, right? Because it almost always had to be either spontaneous, it would happen, or it had to be totally planned right down to the exact hour that we were going to do something, you know?
Well, yeah, I guess one of the thoughts just struck me is, One of the things why I thought it had to be spontaneous is often when you got into some kind of a gathering thing, they'd often start with icebreakers, you know, all this structured stuff. And I won't tell you what I really thought of icebreakers, but I was not a big fan. And I thought, well, this can't be fun. While everyone else is enjoying themselves, I go, I don't get it. And so part of that is me just having to learn or broaden the horizon.
Introverts, yeah. I'm an introvert as well. I think introverts find icebreakers very difficult because it means putting yourself out there. I don't enjoy them either. Mm-hmm. But it seems to have been a favorite way of starting meetings where people don't know each other, right? Icebreakers.
And probably a necessary way, too. And some way maybe inject some lightheartedness into, you know, situations where people don't know each other. Everyone's a bit guarded and tense and... Yeah.
Do you think fun also is related to laughter? That if, as we age, we don't want to laugh as much, we don't have anything to, all the things we're dealing with as we're aging is pretty serious stuff. I mean, health, memory, you know. So isn't we just avoid laughter then? I mean,
I don't know. I don't think so. I think what's fun changes. Like, I enjoy... Mm-hmm. Getting up in the morning, making coffee, sitting on the couch, drinking it, and reading for a little while just before I have to get up and do my day. That is really fun for me. I enjoy that. Mm-hmm. I don't laugh out loud unless the book is funny.
Yeah.
But it's my sort of, I love coffee and I love having it in the morning, and I like that feeling of early morning sort of, you know, sneaking a few pages of reading before I have to get out of the house and go help my daughter.
Yeah, so that's enjoyment.
It's
right?
very much enjoyable, that mm-hmm. is.
Yeah.
The other thing that happens for us is we have very young grandchildren who are very spontaneous. Mm-hmm. And our little grandson you'll throw him a ball and he'll throw it back and he laughs. And that is so fun. And then you start laughing and then he starts mm-hmm. laughing more. And then it's just, it's a fun thing to have small grandchildren who, when they laugh, it's just so spontaneous.
One of the cultural strictures, I think, I remember this growing up is, and this was sort of in my family, in my family's culture, somehow that elderly people had to be wise and somber and not be frivolous and serious, you know, and maybe that's what they call the pietist tradition, you know, that fun, enjoyment, dancing, and that was all frivolous and was almost like, you know, the workshop of the devil. And the older you got, the more serious and the more gravitas you had to carry with you. So, you know, I recall a few times, you know, I guess my mother saying things, you know, oh, well, you know, someone that age shouldn't be joking around like that. And maybe that sticks in my head. Oh,
humor. Well, I feel sorry for
it. Yeah. Well, I mean, it wasn't a dominant theme, but every so often it would come out. And I thought, maybe that somehow sticks that, you know, maybe that ties in with this idea that seniors aren't supposed to have fun.
I had two completely different experiences
than
you. Both of my grandmothers had the deepest belly laughs ever. And I always enjoyed being around them when they would laugh about something. Just the sound of their, you know, their laughter was so beautiful. And that's what I remember most about my grandmothers, was their laughter.
That is neat.
You know, and not that they were not serious, right? They were serious about certain things. But when something touched their, you know, like touched them or whatever in such a hilarious way, they lost it. And it mm-hmm. was just so lovely to hear.
Oh, good. So, so you had good role models.
I had good role models there, I think so.
Yeah.
Well, our family, when I get together with my three siblings, it's all belly laughs.
Okay.
Because we all see the world in an absurdist way. And... for example, my brother and I have had this running joke going, but this was quite serious. I really thought that I had stepped, when we were fishing as a family one time with my grandparents, stepped on a mud pout. I don't know if you know catfish and mud pout. They have a spine that sticks up right in the middle of their back.
Oh.
And I'd stepped on it and it had gone right through my foot, Ooh. And I ended up in the Gimli Hospital because we were at Willow Point fishing.
Yeah. Yeah.
But my brother swears that was him it happened to, not me. So somehow I took on his memory, if in fact
he
took on mine. So, which, you know, and I forget who the comedian was that said, the older you get, the more you remember things that never happened.
Oh. Mm-hmm.
Okay.
In other words, memory is not reliable.
So when you get together, you josh each other about this?
Yeah, we josh each other. That must have hurt, Clint.
Yeah. Well, someone must have the scar, though. I wonder
if there's a scar. I was thinking about that today.
Oh, man. Yeah.
Oh, man. Yeah.
So what else might we do? I mean, I think for some people, just even, say, going to theater, movies mm-hmm. is entertaining.
Yeah, so there's that continuum, right, of I think, I don't know, of there's the entertainment, there's the mm-hmm. Things you do by yourself that you enjoy.
Right. Yeah.
There are the things that, there's a movie that, that's quite old now, called Noises Off. It was based on a play.
Oh, yes. Yeah.
And Carol Burnett and John Ritter and a lot of people that are gone now, Carol's not, but mm-hmm. were in it. And mm-hmm. it was, every time I see that movie, I laugh out loud mm-hmm. through the whole thing, because it's this farce of they're on stage, but everything that's happening behind stage, of course, is causing chaos in the front. So the Noises Off is, anyway. Yeah, but it is so funny. And so there are things that I go to when I really want to laugh and just escape myself, mm-hmm. like mm-hmm. that movie.
Yeah.
Then I don't know. It's through the day trying to find things that are enjoyable. Mm-hmm. To do and to be.
Yeah, I agree with you. I think if I don't find anything enjoyable in the day, it actually sort of ruins the day almost.
I'm
constantly looking for something that's fun, or I guess I put relaxation in there, I put mm-hmm. entertainment in there. Like, in some ways, there's got to be something. If it's not a meme on, you know, on the social media, or if it's a song on the listening to a playlist or whatever, or just going for a walk and laughing. I was thinking about yesterday, and it seemed like yesterday was one of those days where I laughed so much, right? Mm-hmm. I went and took the dog for a walk, and there's this little toddler just running towards our dog with this big grin on her face, and all I'm thinking is, okay, what's going to happen when the dog meets the kid, right? And how's this going to unfold, right? And then suddenly when the child got too close, they stopped and they just stared. And so finally I said to the father, I said, is it okay if the child says hello to the dog? Oh yeah, for sure, if that's okay with you, right? And so I brought the dog closer and her tail is wagging. And I said, do you want to say hello to the dog? And she looked right at me and she said, hello. She completely ignored the dog. Completely. So I said, do you want to say hello again? You know, do you want to say hello to the dog? And she looks at me again, hello. She says, and I was like, I lost it at that moment. So did the dad. Uh-huh. We had a great moment, right? And then to end the evening, we had our oldest grandchild over for the night, and we watched Groundhog Day together. We've been talking about some of the old movies that we'd seen as teenagers mm-hmm. and young adults and what kind of drew us in. And so we decided to go online and rent this movie, and man, just the belly laughs of the three of us together. So I think if I don't get fed with some laughter and some fun in a day, I'm not an easy person to get along with.
No, I get quite grumpy and start feeling sorry for myself, I think.
Okay. Yeah.
Well, I have simpler memories of fun that are ongoing, actually. Yeah. And that is going upstairs. Uh-huh. We have a two-story house.
Okay.
I go upstairs, can't remember why the hell I'm here.
Yeah.
So I go downstairs, and I wait a little bit, and I sort of let go of the frustration of not remembering, and then I remember, so I go back upstairs.
Yeah.
That's it.
That's your laughter.
That's absurd. Like, how is it I couldn't remember why I'm here? Yeah. When I'm standing upstairs, I get there and I go, why am I here? What was it? Oh, well, my God.
You're getting your steps in.
Yeah. Yeah, getting his exercise in anyway.
Yeah, you get your exercise in.
That's true, wow. Yeah. There's, it is a difficult topic for some people, right? It's not actually part of who they are or, you know, how they've...
Memory lapses.
No, I was thinking more of fun. Sorry, but I agree with you. I think all of us experience some memory lapses. And sometimes we can laugh about that after the fact. But yeah. I think not everybody wants to have fun in their life either, right? You know, that's not part of who they are. And so as they age, it becomes easier to be the curmudgeon or the old guy and... You know,
yeah. Really? Complaining.
And, I don't know anybody like that.
No? Oh, okay. Good. Really? That's good. Yeah. I've met a number
of them. We've met a few of them over the years.
I run for the hills.
Yeah.
They're curmudgeons, and it doesn't matter how much you joke with them or try to lighten the conversation, they will continue along their curmudgeon's path, you know? Mm-hmm. So.
I mean, having fun, I think, is to some degree, and we don't want to be too analytic about this because that's not fun. But getting outside yourself.
Yeah. Right. You know? Yeah.
Not being preoccupied with how people see you or whatever. It just letting go. Mm-hmm. And that's the attraction of alcohol and drugs, actually, to some degree.
Yeah.
You let yourself go.
Yeah. It feeds that.
But better to have ways to do that without alcohol and drugs.
Yeah, well, that's the not taking yourself too seriously sometimes. Mm-hmm. I think that it's really hard. It's really easy to start, first of all, being hard on yourself for things that you think you should be doing better or not doing or whatever, and just backing off and saying, mm-hmm. well, that's just who I am today, and letting it go and being...
You know, one of my experiences with my two granddaughters was always driving them back and forth to activities, and especially piano once a week, right? And we would get in the car and we would play the radio so loud and singing along. And all three of us are singing along. And I wonder how many people pass us and think, what the heck are they doing? Like, who sings in the car? You know, like it was so much fun. It was just kind of that time of day when you could let go and not worry about, you know, whatever else is going on that's serious in the world.
Yeah, and that was sort of a new experience for you, something you perhaps 10, 15 years ago hadn't imagined would ever be part of enjoyment or fun. So maybe that what that means is, again, we have to be open to new possibilities.
I think the way you have fun changes, potentially, as we age.
Yeah, I wondered about that, too. Yeah,
I guess personally, I used to run a lot, and I remember getting up early in the morning and being full of energy and hopping out the door and going for like a 6-10 kilometer run before breakfast and just enjoying it. It was fun. Most other people thought I'd lost my mind or something wrong with me, but even in family members. But it was but as I aged, names at all. Yeah. Yeah. Let them run, otherwise we'll have to commit them. But, you know, as I aged, getting up in the morning, I didn't have that same burst of energy. I had to go slow. So then I adjusted to later in the day. Now the last number of years, when I've tried running, I just found every step hard work. And there was no enjoyment in it anymore. So I've backed off from that, but have found or tried to find other physical activities that I could enjoy and still give me a sense. But I guess that what I mean is that's how things have changed. And some of that is by necessity because my body just doesn't act and react the way it used to. But I think that's important too, that what we used to find fun, and Jack, you were referring to that, is not maybe fun anymore, but there are new possibilities there.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, I used to get injuries and aches and pains from physical exercise.
Yeah, yeah.
I loved it. But now I get, for example, putting on my socks.
Yeah.
My back went out the other day.
Yeah.
This was a couple of weeks ago. Yeah. Just from putting my damn socks on.
No. that's not fun.
No, that's not fun.
Well, it wasn't fun, but it's fun in retrospect, looking back on it, how...
Well, that's the absurdity.
That's the absurdity of how fragile
But thinking about become. Yeah, but thinking about all the exercise and pain you got before, you thought that was fun. It was okay.
Yes.
But it's not okay now.
Not okay now.
Right, yeah.
Or one time in, I've told this story many times, back in Alberta, must have been 10 or 20 years ago, it was a long time ago, where I was, there was a fence, and I was walking, and I thought, well, I can just jump over that fence.
Yeah.
Well, I went up, I ran up to it, well, I guess I ran up to it, jumped up, but nothing happened, and I ended up impaled on top of the fence, on my stomach.
Yeah, couldn't leap over.
And I thought, what happened? Well, my legs didn't follow what my mind was thinking. That was fun.
So interesting. Maybe in the moment it didn't feel like fun, but sharing it in retrospect, there's some humor in it.
Are the stories, right? Yeah. Telling the stories and remembering stupid, silly things that happened and reframing them in a different way.
Yeah.
I think that's part of what.
Right. Yeah.
Fun
sharing memories. Sometimes when we get together with our family, we'll talk about our camping experiences. When at the time, like when we got flooded out at 2 a.m. in a major storm, that was not fun at all. I mean, but looking back, you know, I think we can see the humor in it and we laugh about it more.
Or the time we ended up sleeping in our car with our two kids because all of the camp spaces were full. There was something going on in the city that we did not know about, and that was where we had planned to stop. So, and being, I guess it was the local police coming up in the morning, asking us why we were there, and we told him. He says, "Well, this is, you can't really stay here, so that's fine. We're ready to go."
We're done.
Yeah, I think, the recall, the storytelling brings some fun into life too, because you can put your own sort of spin on that too, especially I think about with grandchildren, right? You can tell them a story and you can put the fun spin on it, right? So that it makes it interesting to them, and so then they think that their parents actually were fun people, right? Because they don't think their parents are fun people when they're teenagers, right?
Like,
there's just something about that that changes with age, right?
There's entertainment value in that, I guess.
Yeah, the entertainment,
Which I think is, to me, that's hopeful, again. You know, the idea that sometimes being, you know, sharing memories, being retro, you know, looking back is, you know, can give a different perspective on some experiences, too, which, you know, positive, fun, more lighthearted. You know, it's not all doom and gloom.
A comedian whose name I don't remember said, when you're young, your body is a temple. When you're older, your body is more like a garage.
Garage, okay.
In what way? That is...
Well, and that clicked with me because the garage is a mess right now.
Oh!
Yeah.
And I don't know where anything is anymore.
Yeah.
And I look at it and I just go, oh, there's work to be had here if I want to organize it. But screw it.
Yeah.
Let everything be a mess.
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, it has to be warm enough to work in there anyway.
Yeah, there you go.
That helps a lot too,
But also, I've enjoyed watching old people, not myself, stand and stare at a construction site.
Oh, yes, yeah.
And I thought, what are they doing? They're just, and then I've done it myself. Just enamored, because you're outside of the social context that defined your life prior.
Right.
And so you might as well just stand and stare and watch. So people watching, I find fun.
Yeah.
Enjoyable. See, fun doesn't equate for me often to enjoyment.
Yeah.
Huh. Fun is letting go and just laughing at the absurdity of things.
Huh. Yeah.
Yeah, and I think
like
it's
like a colonoscopy.
Yeah.
Well, you take that laxative, right? That just is like a nuclear...
a bomb goes off.
A nuclear laxative. And the next minute, you're given this drug, And you don't remember a thing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And you get up, well, in my case, you get up and you wobble out out of the room, hanging on to my wife, and feeling good for the next 24 hours or so.
One thing you have to know about Jack is hospitals are his happy place.
Oh, yes. You're being taken care of there. Yeah,
he
you're
feels
in good
very
hands.
Safe there, and he loves being there.
You're oh, safe yeah, there, yeah, good. Yeah.
Yeah, I never thought equated colonoscopy with fun or that, but there you go.
There you go. You never. Well, it's like a little boy who likes farting, right?
Exactly. Well, speaking
sorry.
Of farting, you know, farting as I've gotten older has been an issue with gastric issues.
Oh, yeah. Yes. Mm-hmm.
And you just have to let go of that dwindling dignity that you think you have. Because sometimes you just can't hold back.
I know, yes. I know.
But monstrous farting.
Yeah, the body does what the body wants, right?
Exactly.
You just can't do anything about it, right?
That's... Makes our grandson laugh.
Yeah.
There we go. Yeah. Yeah, you're injecting humor into
the situation. Well, our granddaughter, too, she's laughed. We were joking about getting farted out the door one time when we were leaving. Like that sort of, what do they call that? Scatological humor.
Yeah.
Yeah.
For a four-year-old is just fabulous.
Fabulous, yeah, they love it. Yeah, that's
yeah. It. So, and giving humor perspective where maybe you don't think of it as
yeah,
humor.
Exactly.
Well.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah, that's very true.
Oh, that's yeah. neat. Yeah. So the other piece I thought of, there my mind is going blank. I'm sorry. Carry on. Someone else, I just lost my train of thought. Oh, that's terrible.
You have to step out of the room and come back in.
Yeah. Well, I was thinking about how even, and you know, I know this doesn't impact everybody or doesn't make sense to everybody else in the room, but the church has a Holy Humor Sunday now. It's
oh,
the
really?
Sunday after Easter, right?
Sunday.
And
yeah.
You should see, like, I've never been in a service, but I've seen online some great ministers who dress up like clowns or tell their sermon in the sense of a joke. And I mean, they're using jokes in it, and there's liturgies and litanies that talk about laughter, God's gift of laughter. And it's so much fun watching them. I really wish I could go and see it. I mean, we have one, I know for sure one pastor in the city here who does it, and I love seeing them dressed in their clown costume and doing the service. And I think
it's a great idea, but I can imagine it falling on its face for me.
Yeah,
because it's contrived humor. It's like I can't stand clowns. Because clowns is contrived humor, right?
Oh yeah.
But I think that it touches on a piece that it's not always about seriousness.
No.
Having faith is not about just about seriousness, right? Faith is more than being serious.
It's
faith,
absurdist.
It's absurd. Mm-hmm. It's mysterious. It's got all these other qualities, right?
Yeah.
And
mm-hmm.
and sometimes it's illogical, right? It's just the way it is, right? And I think for this kind of thing to happen, you know, in a service, I think that's really important because it's part
idea.
Of the world.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. It's like saying, oh, well, old people aren't funny anymore, right?
Yeah.
But that's not true. Like, I love hearing George Carlin's stuff, even though the guy's been dead for I can't even know how many times.
Yeah.
But he takes the earthly, the normative things in life, like, and he makes them so funny, right?
Yeah.
And I think for the church to do that, finally, to acknowledge that there is humor
is part of
faith. The faith experience, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so for me, that kind of was a good moving point to think about seniors and having this sacredness about having fun in our old age, right?
Mm-hmm. I think it's a great idea. I'm not sure if anyone could ever get me to laugh in a church because
mm-hmm.
It's like a perpetual funeral in the regular church service. You know, talking about sin and death and singing like
all
you're
right, Jack.
Dying.
But Jack, here, let me give you an example. I took a turn to preach for Rick before I went to seminary. He was going away for something, and so they asked me to preach in Thunder Bay, right? And I prepared this sermon, and it had
on
the word
Sunday?
For
on
a particular Sunday.
Sunday.
No, it didn't exist back then. But in the sermon, I used the word organism. But that's not the word that came out in the sermon.
Yeah, right.
Right? You know what that word was, yeah, right? Yeah. Orgasm. And suddenly the place just erupted, right? And I was like, oh man, how do I get back to the seriousness of this message, right? And there was just this moment, and there was a special needs woman that was sitting in the front row, and she just started to laugh and laugh. Her phone was ringing. She said, "You're funny, Pastor." And I just thought, okay, let go of it. Keep on going. Keep on doing what you're going to do, right?
Yeah. Well, so, that brings back a memory I have. I don't know if I should share it. But I won't mention where.
Yeah.
But I was speaking
right
at some place on Easter Sunday. Mm-hmm. And, of course, we were talking about the resurrection.
Mm-hmm.
And I was so damn tired, it came out erection.
Yeah, I know, yeah, exactly.
No, I don't think anybody noticed except me after the fact.
Oh, no.
No okay. way, how could they miss that one?
Well,
maybe a serious somber
They weren't listening.
They weren't listening, yeah.
Mm-hmm. But you know, you were talking about the negative somberness. I think that's a bit of a cultural piece because a couple of times we were over in Cameroon in Lutheran churches, and the celebratory aspect of their whole worship, the music, the dancing, the loud exuberance. It was like a totally different presentation.
Not as much structure, right?
Right.
More very spontaneous. Yeah.
I found that in India too.
And also that people could be uplifted in a service. It didn't all have to be like this, maybe you want to call it Northern European somber, dull, dreary emphasis on sin stuff. So I agree with you. A lot of our, in church, I guess I'm thinking, the approach really is sort of dampens the uplifted spirit. And I think we should move more toward the opposite. And not just in worship services, but I think in our society as a whole.
As seniors, for sure.
Yeah, I was just going to say,
we're talking about that in terms of our age, right? I think we should be models for some of that's going on out there.
And I think there's a deep-seated yearning for it, a need for it. And that's why the use of drugs and alcohol, I keep coming back to drug and alcohol for some reason. That it just gets you outside of yourself, your prohibitions, your inhibitions, your... Mm-hmm. You know, and you just can let go and just have
fun. But you can do that without. And
you can.
We don't partake, but you can let go without that.
Yeah.
It's harder.
It's harder, but you can do it.
But you can.
Yeah, you can do it. And I think it's important, given that we've come through a particularly tough period of time being isolated from one another through the pandemic. I think that the joy of community has to be strengthened a lot more, and that can happen through laughter and through entertainment and through walks at a park or whatever, or going to a pub and, you know, even if you're just sitting and having a beer and nachos, right?
Pub food. I love
pub food. Yeah.
Yeah, that can be fun too.
Well, actually, when you were asking that question about what do? I think one of our most fun times we do is oftentimes we'll just say about 4 o'clock in the afternoon, we'll say, hey, let's go to the Forks Common and let's have a beer and eat a quick fast food supper at the park and just... I mean, at the Forks, and just sit there and watch people and talk about things that are important in our life or whatever, and then engage in a conversation, but then watch people and just browse, right?
Yeah.
For me, that has been one of the most fun times we have together. It's like having dates when we were first married almost, right? We had date nights kind of quite regularly.
Yeah, what happened to them? yeah, we still have them from time to time.
Yeah, but that's one of those times.
But,
right?
But yeah, some of that, what you're saying ties in with this, I guess, a bit of a wrap-up statement here. Not that I want to cut us off, but it says, to embrace fun in later life is to resist a culture that equates aging with irrelevance.
Mm-hmm.
It affirms that joy is not the privilege of youth, but the right of every soul at every stage of life, which I think is pretty profound, Maybe not funny, but very profound.
It'd be interesting to hear the stories from people that, if they want to share some of their stories of fun.
Well, thank you for listening today, and if you have thoughts about fun and enjoyment or entertainment, please share them. with others or even with us. Thank you for listening today.
Thanks for joining us today. You can find us under Seniors in the Building on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, RRS Feed Community, and possibly wherever you listen to other podcasts. We'd like to thank Thomas Waschenfelder for our logo design. As well, thanks to Amy Waschenfelder and collaborator Natasha Fransblow for our musical jingle for the podcast. We really appreciate their input, and we appreciate the support of all of our families in this endeavor, for listening, for reviews, for tech support, and love. Our email is forseniorsinthebuilding@gmail.com. That's the numeral 4, followed by seniorsinthebuilding, lowercase, all one word. We'd love to hear from you. In the meantime, stay curious and hopeful.